Am I fresh though?
Yeah, dog.
Listen, I appreciate you, man.
You only wore those once or twice. Ain't no more.
Bro, I just took the damn cardboard out the toe today.
That's a middle school first day outfit.
So is that the joint where you don't want to, you know, when you want to bend it? When you walk on your heels? That's that joint right there.
I wouldn't even wear them in here. I wore my Crocs and put these bitches on right as you want them. And I was like, shit, let me put my joint on.
You got them sitting there already. You just slid your feet in them.
Got the shoes this morning.
Yeah.
And then.
And the shirt and the hat.
Oh my God.
I had to get
all the bro.
This motherfucker D-Wade, man. I had to put a whole shit together.
Hey, Channing, when you was driving over too, you was like, I'm finna kill him today.
Bro, I told my wife sleep in the goddamn guest room. I laid this shit out next to me. I woke up and looked over. I was like, oh, I'm gonna kill him tomorrow.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wheel wheels straight. Up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Was it the folded joint or was it on a hanger? Because you know you got two different ones. You got the ones you could get right here. Right. And those always had the line in it.
The folded ones going to have the line down both sides.
Had a line in it, right.
But when you had a line down both sides, they $40. They were $70.
Oh.
I was sitting on the rack, beautiful. I looked at it, and I, you know what I heard when I saw it? I said, I heard,
It spoke to you. It spoke to it.
What we got to do to get him some way of ways, bro? That's all we need.
That's all we need.
Because he been in them Jordan Fusion. They been tearing his ass up. That's why he bought these.
Yo, what size we rocking? What size we wearing?
I'm a 12.
Okay, we got 12s. Once you go over my size, we ain't got them.
You ain't go there.
They don't make it. After 14 and a half, they like, we out of material, bro.
Because you was with Wade. I mean, you was with Converse.
I started with Converse.
And then you went to Jordan.
Yep.
I got your Jordan. I'm Miami, bro, 06. I got down here 05. I got the Jordan. And then you went with Lee Ning's, man. I don't want to get beat up in the hood.
I like the fact that you said it right.
It's called Lee Ning's.
Most people say Lee Ning 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 or something. You said it right.
It's Lee Ning's, bro.
Lee Ning's.
I can't go to the hood with no Lee Ning's on. I don't want to get beat up. Like, what? Was it money or what? Like, bro, I can't go to the hood with Lee Ning's. I'm just asking.
All right. Okay, so let me give you the real. Let me give you the real.
The real.
Right. So growing up, Chicago kid, right? Michael Jordan is my favorite player. Always wanted to wear Jordans. I mean, who don't, right? So when I got to the NBA, they didn't think enough of me to give me a deal at the time. So I signed with Converse, which is under the Nike umbrella still. And I wound up signing a 7-year deal with Converse eventually. And then at some point in that deal, it was like, yo, Converse was kind of going a different route. I'm like, cool. Where I'm going, Jordan and Nike. And they was like, you know, Jordan reached out. He wanted me to come to Jordan. So perfect. I finally got to Jordan. I did 3 years of Jordan. But being there as a businessman, I seen what Jordan was doing. And I was like, well, instead of making money for MJ, we're going to make a little money for myself. Mm. And so I started like thinking differently. And then I had an opportunity at 30 years old. I was already older. I just already won a championship. So I was already established. And Lee Ning came to me with an opportunity to kind of build my own brand, kind of like Jordan has done with Nike. And I was like, I can't pass up on this just for some cool retros. You know what I mean? Like at this point, like my Jordans ain't selling, really. It's the retros. Cause I'm dropping a Jordan on the July 1st, Jordan dropping a retro on the 7th. Ain't nobody buying the Flyweights. Ain't nobody buying them.
Flyweight. That's the one I got, the Flyweight.
So I decided to go off and build my own and try to create my own legacy. And so I was able to do that with Lee Ning and trying to have my own Wade brand, which my guy over here know a little bit about.
I love it.
And kind of build my own thing. Yeah. So like, you can wear them in the hood. I still got one hood stripe.
Bro, first off, you wore Fusions in the hood. So that means you had the 1s, the 20s, and the 14s on at one time. If you don't get beat up for that, you're sure you're going to get beat up for them shoes.
They killed me for the Fusions, man. You can't wear the Jordan with the Air Force One bottom. I didn't know
that. No.
But, bro, what he's doing right now, everybody want them. That's the problem I have with you is, like, why are you making it so hard for us to cop the new way of ways, like, seriously.
Every time I see UD post some shit on his Instagram, I'm like, come on, dog. I need those.
We can't get them.
You can't get them.
Yeah.
Where we get them from?
China.
Oh, shit.
You want us to go to China, bro?
I'll give you the connect. Hey, finally, after a couple years, I was like, bro, come on now. Like, I'll give you my credit card, bro. Like, he was sending it to me. He made cleats for me. My last year in Seattle. Yeah, I did. He made cleats for me. Even when I went to the Saints, I had black and gold cleats. I had everything, and they ain't touched the field. My last cup of tea.
They was there, though. They was in your locker.
They was there, bro, crispy. I still got them. He did that. But then it got to a point, I was like, bro, here's my credit card. Just tell me who I need. So I got the connect. I'll give it to you after the show.
So I need it. But I'm gonna change gears really quick. We talk about fans of the show, right? I'm athlete, the authenticity, the organic feel. We keep it all the way 100, right? So for that, no layups. We're gonna call this episode No Layups.
That's okay. I like to dunk anyway. Yeah. I like to put up body to body.
You mentioned your favorite player growing up in Chicago was
Michael
MJ.
Jordan.
He's your favorite teammate.
I mean, that's a tough question right there.
That's why we're here.
Dunk it in.
Because your favorite teammate is not normally the names that people know. So it's not normally the star players, right? Everybody want me to say LeBron. That's the easy thing to do. But your favorite teammate.
You want
to
say LeBron?
No. I'm explaining what's your favorite teammate. Your favorite teammate is normally that guy when you come off the court, you cursing to yourself because you done missed five in a row, and he the one to come over to you and be like, hey, bro.
Right.
Hey, you good, man. You're one of the greatest in the world.
That's true.
This guy, right? The guy that when you come to huddle that don't really play that much but can go off on the whole team, right, and you respect him. So my favorite teammate over the years was never necessarily the name players. It was more so like the guys that can come in and have that respect and not even be playing on the court. So like a James Jones was my favorite teammate, you know, and I played with some of my friends growing up. Quentin Richardson, he was one of my idols growing up. And even though he was only a few years older than me, I got a chance to play with him. He was one of my favorite teammates. Darrell Wright, like, it ain't the stars. Right. Udonis Haslem was my favorite teammate of all time.
So right. UD's number one?
UD's number one, and because I didn't have to worry about
You guys came in together, right?
We came in together, but whenever I was in the club, whenever I was out anywhere in Miami, whenever I was on the court, UD had my back. And so we started building a brotherhood. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then obviously we got close. We won championships together. You know what I mean? We did all that. But like off the court, I ain't never had to worry about nothing in Miami because it's like, UD got me.
What is it about UD though? Like, because we see it on Instagram, the family vacations, all of that. What makes UD special? Why is he the number one guy?
He's just real. You know, you guys know when y'all meet somebody who real, they authentic. You know what I'm saying? UD is that. He's real. He wears emotions on his sleeve. He is who he is. We built a relationship when we first came in. We came to Miami. Miami wasn't a basketball town. It's a football town, the Dolphins and all that. We built a relationship early as two kids that come from the inner city that have mothers that, you know, lived a life that was, you know, in the drug game, right? In the drug industry. My mom was incarcerated. My mom did drugs for so many years. Me and UD kind of met each other in that space. Like, listen, this is what we come from, and this is what we're trying to accomplish. And we both went on that journey for 16 years together, trying to accomplish something greater than anybody in our family have ever done. So it started there in the Mutiny Hotel in Miami where we learned each other. And then now it grew into like, this is my brother. We go to China together. We go worldwide together. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, like, we're learning about business together. You know what I'm saying? And so forth and so on. So like, outside of anything, that's my brother. You know, we built that.
Y'all got shameless plug, I think they call it, 800 degrees. Because me and my family go over there to that water park right there by your spot, bro.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate the shameless plug.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to watch out for you.
What'd you say again?
800 degrees, shameless
plug. We want to talk about Way of Wade's. Yeah. We want to talk about Stan Socks. We want to talk about your wine. We don't talk about all of that.
Okay.
Shameless plug. Okay. I am athlete. We
hey, man. We here.
Won't y'all stop being so nice, though? Right? Because one, they
going to hit me with the soft ones first.
He didn't want to name LeBron as his favorite teammate.
We want to know who's the GOAT as you see it.
And hold on.
You want to go right to the GOAT.
RC,
right to the GOAT. We got to.
What was your clothes? Why'd you wear those clothes, RC?
Well, because see, I didn't know if D. Wade was going to need a simple reminder about where he was from. Right? About the reason everybody in his city hooped, right? About the reason I was outside in front of my yard with the backboard that was made out of wood, jumping with this hand, trying to switch to this hand in 1992, right? Sometimes you play the game a long time and you start to forget things. So I said, maybe I need to remind him of the color. Oh, wait, I could do one better. I could wear the first shoes.
Them the ones, ain't it?
So I'm going to see
them the ones.
If he needed this, or was he smart enough to come with the right answer? And I'm going to drink his wine while I do it.
I just want to know where you get the jacket from. Did you get that custom made? Did you have it hanging up in the closet? Like, where you get that from?
Jackson, who name in it?
Ooh. Ooh.
It's hard.
I wore this for you though.
Is that satin or?
It's satin. So it's kind of like
that's cold.
It's kind of like the stripe on your tuxedo pants that only basketball players would wear with volleyball socks. You feel me? It's kind of like it's satin stripe on the side of the pants, my dog. Hey, bro, that's so basketball. Dog.
I love it,
dog. That is so basketball.
That main basketball, them Jane Fondas.
Oh, you talking about size?
Dean, listen. 1999, 2000, that was a thing in the basketball community. You go back, you remember the Atlanta Celtics? The hoop AAU team, you remember?
Yeah, I remember the Celtics, yeah.
The Celtics, that was a thing.
The Jane Fondas?
Yeah. Little Billy Blanks. Let's go with Billy Blanks. Let's get a black. Yeah. Billy Blanks didn't wear none of these.
Hey, I'm going to redirect this thing, man, because we ain't got a whole lot of time. He's a legend, you feel me? Who the f***ing GOAT?
Michael Jordan. No. Okay, listen, and this is LeBron is one of my good friends. I have so much respect for what he's doing now, what he's done, and what he would eventually do, because he's not done yet. So it's definitely, I'm going to say this, it would definitely be an argument that would need to be had. If LeBron James end up the number one scorer of all time, top five in assists and top five in rebounds, and have four to five, six championships, you cannot do nothing but have the conversation of who's the greatest of all time.
The conversation's already happening.
Well, the conversation has been happening, but it's not really, it's not good. LeBron's still playing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to have that conversation about the greatest of all time when a man is still putting on his jersey, right? So, but when he's done, his lineup, his statistical lineup is going to be the greatest that's ever played the game when it comes to scoring, assists, rebounds, so forth and so on. I come from a Jordan era. I am biased, and I'm going to be a bias for the day I pass away. Michael Jordan will be my GOAT.
I always loved you. I love you even more.
Oh, no, he will be my GOAT. But that doesn't mean I'm not taking anything away from LeBron. LeBron is amazing, but Michael Jordan is my GOAT. I play basketball because of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but bro, y'all know how it is in the locker room. It's different. Like, y'all won championships together. And this is the number one question I had, because I see you on TNT. And I see you tweeting Instagram. Anytime a conversation come up, you're like, he's my GOAT, MJ.
He's my GOAT.
But you got MJ, that's your teammate, that's your man. Y'all on the banana boat together. You know what I'm saying? So does that ever get awkward?
You got to be super cool to get on a banana boat with other grown men. You got to be really, you got to be really close. You got to be really close.
That doesn't get awkward where it's like, you know, you are publicly saying, this is my GOAT. And everybody else in the world is talking about who's the GOAT.
Not for me. I think my thing is like, this is a real conversation, right? You are, all of us have our own individual opinions. This has nothing to do with, like I said, once LeBron James is done playing his game of basketball, I'm definitely going to tell my grandkids, that I played with one of the greatest to play the game of basketball. He will be the GOAT for a lot of generations. I started playing the game because of Michael Jordan. He will be my GOAT until the day I pass away. It doesn't take anything away from LeBron. This is just like LeBron. We started playing. We envisioned playing like Michael Jordan. So for me, from Chicago, where I grew up, I made it out the hood because I seen a dude, number 23, play the game of basketball at a level that I was like, I just want to do some of that. So it doesn't take anything away from LeBron. LeBron will be the GOAT of this generation that has watched him grow up, just like we watched Michael Jordan kind of grow. And go into what we call a GOAT. That's why I always say my GOAT. This is not personal. LeBron's my guy, but Jordan is my GOAT.
So you retired at 37. LeBron is 36, turns 37, I believe, in December.
Yeah, man.
How is he still, like, what makes him special? And even when you talk about mileage and how, you know, how he's doing it night in and night out, where you talk about usage rate, you talk about, you know, load management. He ain't doing what Kawhi's doing. He ain't doing what these other KD, and I love KD. I love Kyrie, but you know KD just
and
took off.
AD hurt. AD hurt. So LeBron got to take on more with LA right now.
Right. So like, what makes him special? You know, you had that. Yeah.
This dude up there.
He left the hospital with more than everybody.
Bro, listen. Bro, Brandon, be Marsh. This dude up there, bro.
Out the womb.
Bro, his shopping cart of talent when he was born was bigger than everybody's, dog.
They gave him everything.
The dude behind LeBron, he don't have nothing.
Yeah, but you got to give me more, man, because we know what goes into it, the sports science, how we train, how we eat, how we sleep, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
What are we not seeing that you saw?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like you said, we know about taking care of your body. What do you put in your body? Nutrition, right? That's why I have a chef, right? You guys have a chef for the show, right? We understand about putting in your body. We understand about the training that you need. As athletes, former athletes, we understand the training that you need.
Well, everybody except Ocho.
Right, okay. So besides the guy who eat McDonald's every day, which none of us can do, we understand about that. But ultimately, man, I've watched this guy, and I see him take care of his body. I see him own it 100%. But I've also know that guys can roll their ankle and be out 4 weeks. I've seen this guy roll his ankle and come back and give you about 20 in the fourth quarter. I'm talking about a bad roll ankle, and I'm like, oh, he done. He come right back. I'm out 4 weeks with this roll ankle. He come right back, fourth quarter, scored 20. Right. It was like when God made him, he was like, all right, I'm going to give you all this. I'm going to take everything, but I'm going to take one thing from him, and I ain't going to give you no lining. But I'm going to give you everything else. That's why I tell bro, I'm like, he gave you everything. He gave him everything. He just said, I'm going to just take this one
but
thing.
But when is he going to let it go, though?
No, listen, as long as he got money, he ain't letting it go.
He too rich to let it go.
Do you think he carry in his pocket the GOAT conversation? Does he want to be better than MJ?
He said he's the GOAT. Was it? When he won
it? After the bubble, when he won it.
Yeah, I mean, of course you want to be the GOAT. Right. Most people want to be the GOAT and you can't get there. Right? We fall short. We run out of talent. I ran out of talent. Injuries or whatever. LeBron is actually there.
Do you think that takes away? Do you think having this conversation sometimes takes away from what LeBron has accomplished?
Yes, because he's not done. And we're talking about everything he's doing now, right? We talk about the GOAT, the greatest of all time. That's when a player is done. And now you can put their resume versus the next resume. Right now, we've been talking about LeBron as a GOAT since 2010. We're 2021. This man still got another 5 years to play if God willing, he don't get hurt. So, like what I said, he will be a GOAT. Someone's going to say, LeBron's my GOAT, hands down, nothing else. Just like I say, Jordan's my GOAT. It's generational GOATs. That's what people got to understand. It's a lot of great players that play sports, but it's eras of GOATs. And everyone want to make one GOAT. It's impossible to make one GOAT because as great as LeBron is, it will be another. This is just the way the game is. This is the way the world works. It will be another person that come in and become someone's GOAT.
And there's the Bill Russells, because he'll say championships and all
11.
That stuff. So he got 11 and all that. We know that LeBron's hairline has zero championships.
But it got a lot better. It got a lot better.
But does he? No. He bought that hairline. We all know
it. Listen, if you got money,
you can buy anything.
But listen, women doing it, why we can't do it?
We can't buy hairline.
Hey, his hairline don't have no championships, but it for sure got a lot of comeback players of the year.
Because it bounced back.
From Miami to now LA, he cold.
I saw the Space Jam promos. It's come, bro. Bro, it is the Alex Smith of basketball, bro.
That's CGI, though. That's computer generated hair. That man whole back is bald.
He rich.
But
as long as he got that bag, he can have some hair.
To get to you, though, best shooting guard ever.
Michael Jordan.
I don't want Jordan, no. And they got Kobe, and they got Wade. And then you have Ray Allen, none of that. You got AI. You got a bunch of dudes. Are you okay being behind Michael Jordan and Kobe when you see all the lists, when you see all that? You the third best shooting guard of all time. That's cool with you?
Yeah, that's all right. I'm cool with that.
No arguments, man.
Listen, I'm a kid just like you got. I'm a kid from the inner city of Chicago. All right? I was never supposed to be here, I'm sure, like most of us. And when you have a conversation about the greatest to play the game in any, what is overall, what is position based, and you can be anywhere in the top conversation with someone mentioning your name, bro, that is a win. That's a win. So for me, I hear, oh, D-Wade's the third best shooting guard. That's cool. I may be the fourth. I may be the fifth. I may be the sixth one day. You're still going to have my name in the conversation.
Hell
so
yeah.
That's, I don't care about the number. I just care that you respect my game and what I brought to the game enough that you put me in the conversation. I'm cool with that.
You mentioned LeBron continuing to play. And we know about the decision and the scrutiny and everything that kind of went around that. But your decision to go from, you weren't ready to retire when you left Miami. I was, bro, I was pissed. I was like, come on, man. We got to do something.
Were you pissed at me?
Nah, I wasn't pissed at you. I'm a big fan.
A lot of people was pissed at me, though. Like,
I know how the business goes. I know the whole thing. And again, you're a kid with, you know, a sparkle in your eye. You had an opportunity to go back and play in front of your hometown. Because you weren't ready to retire. What prompted that decision? I don't want to talk about Cleveland. You shouldn't have never been in Cleveland.
Fred, he didn't want to leave, Fred. He went to Cleveland for a year. I mean, no, Chicago for a year.
Let's not talk about that.
No, let's talk about
I can understand
it.
Chicago, Fred, but I want to know his mindset. Or maybe we can ask him both.
Bro, yes.
We can talk about both.
Bro, you left Miami. You was in Chicago for a year, went to Cleveland for 6 months. You were gone 19 months. I looked it up. I had to get the number. Why did you leave? You shouldn't have left Miami, bro. You the baddest thing. Yeah. I just watched something on Instagram earlier when you jump on the little announcer's table talking about this is my house. When you stole the ball and hit the little runner three. Yeah. Why would you leave Miami and why? Who? I don't want to say fault, but we know Pat and we know the money. And to be honest, I'm down here. I do radio. I know they prioritize Hassan Whiteside's $98 million deal over your deal. $47 million in Chicago. I want to get into it, D.
Get into it, baby.
Why did you leave Miami? You want another one? You want another one? Why did you leave Miami? And
I'm saying you and your Barbara Walters.
We getting it.
I got those motherfuckers. I would have got the way of ways if I wasn't going to get beat up in the hood. I got it. What happened when you left Miami? Because you should have never left, bro.
Yeah.
Over Alonzo, over all them people, Pat and everybody, Shaq and all them boys. Dwayne Wade is Miami Heat basketball. Yeah. You should never have left here for 19 months and came right back. What happened?
Let's go Wade County. We waiting.
Would you say no layups? No layups.
We waiting. No layups.
You guys know it's business, man. And as much as we're told, as much as we want to think that it's Wade County and it's my team, this is my house, it ain't my house. Because when it come down to it, when it come down to negotiations, when it come down to contract, when it come down to money, now it's a value put on you.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so now the value that's put on you come back to you. Sometimes you like, that's what you think of me? That's all I'm worth? You know what I'm saying? So I think when it came down to it for me, I understood one thing, Channing. I understood that when Shaq came, I knew the lure of Shaq and everything he brought, but I understood what I meant to the organization and team. And we won that first championship. LeBron came, I took a step back, I took less money, but I understood what I meant to bring everything together. It don't work without me. Right? And then when LeBron left, for me, it was time for me to get my just due. And I was still good enough. I was still giving you 20 a night and all this, right? But I also understood that those small businesses around the arena, and that's downtown and South Beach, and that's all around, they all are making money. Because people are coming to see the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I also understood that people are coming into the arena to see me as well. So I understood what I bring to the city. And so I wouldn't take less. And once I heard less coming back from what I felt I was worth, I wouldn't take it. I'm raising young kids. I'm raising young men. I'm raising young women. If I want to tell them that this is how they should conduct themselves and handle business and stand up for themselves and so forth and so on, I have to lead. So for me, I had to stand up for myself and say, listen, guys, I understand this is what y'all want to offer me. But I'm worth more than that, and I know my worth. And my worth is not whatever the contract was offered to me. And that's not taking away anything from Hassan Whiteside. That's not taking anything away from the Heat trying to be players in free agency. But ultimately, I, out of everybody, should have been taken care of first.
Yeah, they made a mistake because he ain't done shit since.
Should have been taken care of, I'm not saying nothing about anybody else.
I know, but I'm going to say he ain't done a
Worried about him, but it was more so this happened more than one summer. This was over multiple summers. I didn't just leave because my feelings was hurt because of one summer I didn't get paid.
Okay, but right there, that's the most intriguing part about this part of the conversation is that why didn't it get out? Because we talk about being a businessman, and you say you're raising sons and daughters, and like there's a way you got to this is how we do business. Why didn't we hear about that? You know, I'm interested to hear that part of it because you left, you know, you felt a type of way, the Heat felt some type of way, and then you end up coming back.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't we hear about me, the reasons that happened?
Correct, because a lot of guys wear the emotions on their sleeves.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, like, you know what?
They want people to know that it's not them. right? Like that's the one thing, especially in the society we live in now. Like, it wasn't me. I wanted to be here. They treated me like that or like this. And then what Brandon's asking too, which I want to know, is after that happens, you come back though.
Yeah.
Like, what type of grown up, grown man conversation has to happen to get Wade County back? You feel me?
Well, here's the thing, though. As much as, and I'm this kind of person, is I understand people's fault in things, and I always look at my, what could I have done better in that situation, right? Because it was Wade County. Maybe I could have taken a little step back and looked at it differently or had a different conversation with upper management about my role in, like, the future, right? Pride and ego definitely comes in play. I was pissed. My pride and my ego was hurt. And so I'm not saying I made a decision based on that, but that definitely was a part of it. Right. Now, before I decided to leave, I got offered the contract that I asked for previously, right? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, previously before that, I sat down with management and I asked for all I wanted was 3 more years to play at $60 million. I wanted $20 million a year. And it sounds like a lot because I'm talking to the cameras, but in our sport, with everything was going, even though I was an Asian athlete.
At that time, the guys was making $25 to $30 million.
And then I knew that the money was going up. Right. I knew the TV money was going up and guys were going to make what they're making now, 40, 30, 40 million. So I, from everything that I felt like I gave, that I deserved, that's what I asked for. Now, they had different plans. It's a business. I understand that. And so they did what they needed to do. And I played that season on a 1-year deal for 20 million, which was a lot of money. And I balled out. I got us 1 game away from the East Conference Finals. I'm ready to keep going and keep this going. They had other plans. So when they had other plans, I had to look out for myself. And that's when I decided to be a free agent for the first time since 2010 and go out and find the best opportunity and deal for me and my family. You know what I mean? And Miami was my family, and I wanted to be here. I wanted to be one of those guys that played their whole career here. But when it got down to it, it just wasn't done the correct way for me, and I had to go.
We got soccer players, Premier League, 10 million followers, 20 million followers that follow us, repost everything we're doing, NFL players, NBA players. And it's like free game. But isn't it amazing that we're talking about D Wade, and you talked about D Wade as, you know, bigger than anybody in basketball in Miami. D Wade's bigger than anybody in sports in Miami.
Yep. D Wade, and D-Wade, he went bro, through that. I tell transition. You, is Dwayne Wade and Marino is the argument in
order.
Miami.
In that order,
Dwayne
no
Wade, Marino.
In that order.
Because Dwayne has 3 championships, Marino has 0.
Right.
They were both great. That's the Miami hierarchy. Pat Riley falls in there somewhere, but bro, you're the big dog. That's why I had to ask you about leaving. So that's why I asked him about leaving.
I didn't want to leave. This is my house, right? I didn't want to leave, but you guys know when it comes down to the bottom line, when it comes down to business, it gets real. And that's what a lot of people fans don't really understand the business of the game. We understand that, hey, you know, this guy is scoring. They're giving him all the things he wants. It looks on the outside, it looks like it should be automatic that this guy finished his career here. Well, the business came up. And the business came up to where in the end of the day, I was older. I wasn't as good as I once was, right? It's always the next person, the next young guy coming in, whether it's Hassan Whiteside, who got triple doubles, whatever the case may be. They always looking to better their team as businessmen. And I wasn't in the number one or number two or possibly number three person on their checklist. Right. Now, what I meant to Miami and what I felt I deserved, they didn't feel the same way. Respect to them for that because I'm a businessman, but I got to go. That's simple as that.
Now, yeah, but they got it right, though. They got it right. They figured it out because I'm gonna say it like this, man. If I'm an owner of an organization, there's once-in-a-lifetime type of talent that comes in your door. And they punch their own tickets, take tickets out of the city. And you, Tom Brady, LeBron James, there's only a couple guys that can do that. So I feel like they made the wrong, you know, decision, and then they end up getting it right towards the end of the season. You know, that's how I feel about it.
But here's the thing, B. Marsh, the money that I asked for previous, right, when I wanted that 3 years, $60 million or whatever the case may be, and I got the 1 year 20, I was offered that the next summer. I was positioned with that same number, 2 years, $40 million, whatever it was, that next summer.
And but by why, time why I was, did it take all of that to get there?
Well, by the time I was positioned with it, I was gone. Physically, mentally,
so here's
emotionally.
Here's the important question for me, because I look at you a lot of times as a father, and I'm constantly trying to learn, right? And you talked about you had kids, you had a son, right? You had an older son that hooped, right? What part did that play in your decision, that respect for yourself and that teachable moment to him?
Yeah, I mean, And Chef bringing this up.
Chef Nancy.
Hi.
What's
hi.
Up?
Hi, hi. How are you?
Before we get in that, you know, Wade and D-Wade and Gabby, they, you know, they're in the fashion. They post stuff every week, yeah. every day, every 10 minutes.
Every day.
So what's like going that. On? What's the inspiration behind this outfit? Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to have some warm colors. Normally, I wear a lot of black, but I'm feeling happy. And and the spring is coming. I got to get springy.
So, Chef, before we get into the history lesson, talk to us about what we eat and what we having.
We have Thai curry today, Thai curry shrimp with jasmine rice.
So let me give you a history lesson. Chef Nancy, we got D-Wade on the show.
Yes.
All right. Okay. How did you get to here? You know what I mean? Talk to us about, because his chef, Chef Richard, that he just talked about approving everything that he eats. You know what I mean? What role did he play in where you're at today?
He played an intricate part in why I'm here today. How I became a private chef is because Chef Richard opened up a company of private chefs, and I auditioned for him, and he gave me my first shot. I wouldn't be here, standing here today if it wasn't for Rich.
Wow.
Support.
And then, so that moment when Chef Richard, because I think he's a brand and a business in himself and just famous. A lot of people know him because of D-Wade and Gabby, but there's so many other things that he's doing and the murals and how cities are paying homage to, you know, what he's done for our community and then other chefs.
He's a bit of a big deal in the chef world.
He is a big deal. and I think we know that, but like, I want you specifically. So you started with that one moment, you interviewed with him, and then what did that turn into? Because like a lot of times we don't see the trickle-down effect, right? Like one person, that one decision they make, how it can impact somebody else's life.
Well, I auditioned with him in January, and by maybe like second week of February, I was in the kitchen with Kelly Rowland, and that was through him. From there, I had Antrell Roll, which was one of New York Giants, and that's how I got to you. And then it's basically, I say, a secret society because you have to know someone. So he like put me in the secret society, basically.
Wow. Would you say he's the one of the OGs in the game?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. So you know I got to get messy.
Well, we're the same
so
age.
So Chef Richard, he's off to the side.
He said, you know, I got to get messy.
I got to get messy.
Messy.
You I got to get messy. You know, we got Let Me Speak and 5550. We got Protect the nest egg. And we got Ocho versus Science. My thing is, let me get messy. Okay. Who's the better chef?
Oh. Oh. So here's what I'm gonna. So let me just tell you this.
Let me get messy, Chan.
So it's not even, well, let me just.
I ain't a part of this. I ain't a part of this.
Yeah, come on, Chef.
Come here.
Oh, damn.
So here's the thing.
Oh, my man.
I'm still the I Am Athlete. What'd you say? I gotta leave? Okay, there's a car outside. There's a car outside for me. Okay, I'll be right there.
How is it?
Yeah, it's good. Chef, it's cool.
Hey, don't you act like we're asking you who better LeBron or Mike.
No.
Don't you do that.
Let me speak. So here's the thing. There's two different styles of cooking. I'm from the Northeast, so I cook in the Northeastern style. He's from the South. He has a Southern style. But I learned a lot of things from him. And he also taught me that everything is doable. Like, you know, like he just creates a lot of stuff that my brain wouldn't even think about creating. And yes, he's an OG, but.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
So am I. No. Because we're the same age. But
I'm going to stop you. Nancy came to, we were looking for a chef in New York and contacted her, and I had her to come to, because what we would do is we would rent out these penthouses that had kitchens so the chefs would have somewhere to prepare the food. Nancy came in and she had the least amount of material out of anybody. Mm. She had some chicken and some other things. I don't even remember what else she had, but it was the chicken. And she came in, the truffle chicken. And she came in and she put that chicken in the pan and then turned the fire on. And I looked at it and I was like, man, technique right off the rip. And she proceeded to cook.
And as she cooked, we talked, remember? And she was able to cook and talk and just have a great conversation. And her spirit was just something like I hadn't experienced before. And when she finished preparing that chicken and she gave it to me, I ate it. The skin was so crispy, so flavorful.
Crispy
man,
chicken.
I ate that thing. And what'd I do? I had you make me a whole nother one. I had to make me a whole nother one. And I told my business partner, I said, it's a wrap. I said, it's a wrap, you know? And Nancy is what every, and you can attest to this, every athlete, when you go from your hometown to a new city, you're looking for somebody to make you feel like home. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, you look for somebody that's going to take care of you. And from the time I met her, she's always taking care of me, you know, and through her food, you know, and through her actions, she's so selfless. And, you know, the first time I ever saw her up here talking, I almost passed out. Because you know that is not what she does.
No. You know, right? I'm pulling teeth. Chef, stick with me. We're going to have our own cooking show.
That's right.
I ain't going to tell you what she did. She went on Good Morning America, Chef. You would have been proud of her. Right. She dropped her website, her seasonings, and boom, business.
I've seen the seasonings.
You see? Yes. You would have been proud. All right. You're right there. This is not who Chef is. She's super shy. But I want to get back to you really quick. Where are you trying to push the industry? Because it just seems like when I look at you and I follow your page, like you're on a mission. What is that mission? What are you trying to do in the community in the whole cooking game?
Well, what I've always wanted to do was to provide a platform for our people to be able to strive and and just to show what we have. This industry has not given us a fair shot at all, be it in a restaurant, be it as a private chef, anything dealing with food. Food came from us. You know, we don't have to look at a recipe to put something down on the plate and make it taste good. Everything has been stolen from us. So what I'm doing is, and my business partner and myself, what we're doing is we're taking it back. And we're not doing it boastfully. We're just doing it a piece at a time, a piece at a time. Nancy is a piece, you know? And I tell every chef that has ever come and worked with my company, because I've never said that they work for me. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. You always work with me, you know, is I don't expect for you to be with Chef RLI for 10 years. I want you to go out and I want you to go and do your own thing. And every time I turn on that stove and I have a second to look at Instagram or something and I see Nancy or I see Chef Ali, who is with Jimmy Butler right now. You know, man, I just feel so proud because I had something to do with it. You know, and I just sit back and I don't say a word. We don't say a word. We just plant seeds, you know. And right now, what I want to do is my next step is to get on another platform so that I can provide more opportunity for more people, you know. And I'm on my way to doing that, you know. And to even you spoke about the mural, you know, man, I got a mural in Wynwood in the city that I grew up in and I'm alive. Normally, they paint you when you're up out of here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Wynwood. Tell them what Wynwood was. A lot of people travel from Wynwood.
You know, Wynwood, I mean, we're right down the street from Overtown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And growing up, we weren't even over there.
Right.
At all. We were scared to even go over there. It was none of that. So to be there, it lets you know that something is happening. And these kids can see that. They can see somebody, and I always say this, and there's no whatever on, you know, on athletes or entertainers or whatever, but we're showing our children, because you know, to be able to play at your level, it's like winning the lotto.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
so
sir.
You understand that it's more that don't do it than that do it. Right. But those kids that aren't able to do it, they can see that I can now do something else. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I mean? And it's somebody that looks like me.
Legacy,
Chef.
So phenomenal. That's what it's all about. And I want to ask y'all too, with Chef Nancy, and I love Chef. She cooks me oxtails all the time. That's my favorite. And Chef, we're ball players. And that's what we do, and that's what people we talk to, from basketball to football. But there is a group of young black people, young black women and men, that would like to be the best chefs, would like to be that. And we call this show Free Game. Free game.
Because it's bigger than fried food. I mean, the culinary is deep. It's an art like anything else, right? It's your profession. But when you minimize it or limit it to, you know, fried food, barbecue, you know, that's what people, when they see Black Chef, they think this is what they're bringing.
Those are called cooks.
Okay? Those are cooks.
I told Chef, like, right, a cook is someone who makes one meal for everybody, right? And they got a specialty.
Right.
Chefs don't have a specialty. They can do it all. So, right. And these are chefs. They can prepare anything out of anything.
To these point, what would you like to tell, free game, tell the 13, 14, 15-year-old, not cooks, tell the 15-year-old chefs that want to be in your position one day?
So what him and I share is that we have a love for the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Everything now, even me being here, I didn't want to be in front of the camera. He knows that. He knows when I started, when he sent me, you sent me on an audition, and I was like, I don't want to cook. I didn't want to cook in front of anyone. I didn't want to, remember? He was like, Nancy, they put the pants on one leg at a time the same way we do. It was the love for the craft that came first for us. A lot of young people are chasing Instagram and, you know, the social media, and they want to be stars before they even...
They want to shine without the grind.
Yeah, yeah. And
put that on a T-shirt.
Shine without the grind.
They want to shine without the grind.
I think what I find amazing about the conversation, at least when we get to this point, is that we don't have discussions like this about cooking, right? Because it's very similar to the way we play ball. The first time I picked up a football, I knew what to do with it, right? And even if I wasn't great, it felt right. A lot of times it's the same way with cooking. Like, I know my grandmother, my aunties, my mom, my pops, like when they cook, they don't need recipes. They don't need all these things. And I think what was important about what you said was the craft. Cause so many times we put the glory, we put the fame, we put the ending before the journey of the craft. And I think that was beautiful that you relayed that.
Yeah.
Here's another thing too. And you know, Chef is one of the most modest people ever, but 20% of his job is being a chef. That's 20%. Other 80% is when the kids come down, daddy on the road, mama shooting a film movie, he got to be daddy.
Right.
They come down, he's the first person they see. Chef got to be pops at the crib, right? Something happens, my driver's not around, chef got to take me somewhere. You know what? Because I like to have a good time. I don't want to drive. Like, it's so many things that come into play when it comes to the position as someone who's a chef, but someone who, like, you know, is a part of your family. Chefs become part of your family. Cooks, they cook and they leave.
Mm. Yeah.
Straight up.
Right.
Go.
Hit your food.
Really? We have that story too, because he's always said, like, Chef, you take care of my kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? If they needed to go to school, I'm going to take them to school. If they need to be watched, I'm going to watch them. Yeah. That's just is
Everybody
what it
wanna
is.
Do that. Everybody want to come and cook and leave that dry chicken and leave. No. If you want a chef, you want somebody who's going to do more. Here we go.
Hey, you can't leave both of them. You can't leave me dry chicken and go.
But that's real, though.
So, I think that, you know, for young people who are trying to get into the culinary arts, I think that the most important thing that you have to remember is that you'll never know enough. Mm-hmm. When you think that you have learned enough, then you might as well just put your knives up and it's a wrap. It's over. You have to continuously learn. As nervous as I was the first time I cooked for him, mm-hmm. and I'm older than he is, I'm nervous like that every single time.
Game day.
Every single time I'm nervous because I'm only as good as what I made. No matter how much he loved me, how much we get along.
Ooh, we say that in the National Football League. NFL stand. What does the NFL
not
stand
for?
Not for long.
And it's real. It's real. I mean, when he sits down and he gets ready to eat something, I'm around the corner and I'm peeping, you know, and I'm looking, you know. If I'm standing in front of him, I'm looking, and I'm looking to see what's left on the plate. I know I slid these asparagus on here. He really don't want to deal with them too much. If he, if I could get him to eat two of them where he wasn't eating nothing before, then I'm like, bam, okay, good. We did something.
D, you don't fuck with them asparagus?
Man. We like distant cousins, man. We see each other every now and again, but we don't really fuck with each other. You know what I mean?
Man, you got to add coach because what you just did was, like, you inspired, you know, and you taught. And that's all coaches are supposed to do. Now, I'm going to be honest. I can't cook like that. But when I go home, I'm going to slide some asparagus on the plate, too, and see if they eat, too, when they didn't eat. And I think that's the, like, that's the motivation, at least for me, when I think of our communities, when I think of our people, those motivations are important, right? Because we always need to see and we always need to allow the ones coming behind us to know that there are ways to excel. Right, that there are ways to succeed
outside of playing ball. Outside playing ball,
because they tell us that sports. Right, when I grew up, all I knew was football, track, basketball. Like pretty much.
No, add the other one. Add the other one.
Baseball,
drug dealing.
Oh well, that was the sport.
Right, yeah.
Right. That's all we knew.
That's what we knew. That's the only way out.
It's a double-edged sword with life.
Right,
you know, it's give and get. You know, you got to always walk around with your hand open, as they say, so you can receive blessings and to give them out as well. And one thing I always told Nancy, and I tell these 13, 14-year-olds and older, whoever wants to be a chef or whatever, the key to your success is always making your shoes so big that they can't be filled.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying right now?
Man, my man don't even let me put my own water. My man give me a little glass of water about this big, and knowing I gotta come, I'm on some more, and I gotta look for him and wait till he come and pull the next. I'm sitting there, the asparagus is right here, and I gotta wait on him to come back and pull my water. There's job security right there for my man, because I can't do nothing without him.
So Ryan talked about inspiration. You know, Chef talked about shoes to be filled. You talked about, you know, Chef filling in for you when you're not there, mm-hmm. being a chef, being a father, you know, the entire nine. Your biggest inspiration, your children. I mean, I follow you, bro, and the things that you do as a parent. But two, it gets a little bit more complicated as a celebrity parent, because mm-hmm. people are gonna always want to scrutinize you for your thoughts. It's always gonna be some sort of additional conversation, but. From what I've seen you, your humility, from what I've grown to know over the years, and just for the things that I've seen you, how you handle yourself lately, right? And inspirations. What's your biggest influence now since you retired, and what inspires you, you know, going forward?
Listen, man, I you know what? Like, I go through life and I'm an imperfect human being, right? I'm imperfect.
All of
right?
us.
My wife
All
always, I'm imperfectly perfect. All of us are imperfect. But if it's one thing that I promised myself I would do, is that no matter what, when I decided that I was going to be a parent, and when it was decided upon me that I was going to be a parent, that I was going to love unconditionally. Mm. Not conditional love. I was going to love unconditionally. And we all take what that means for granted. And so when you become a parent, you realize what being selfless really is and what it really means. Because before you become a parent, it's all about you. Life is all about you, but then you realize it's not about you. And so for me, man, when it comes to my kids, and I'm not the perfect parent, you can ask them. I'm sure I'll fall
They're
short.
For sure.
Yeah, I'll fall short, but here's the thing, is my village is strong, right? When I talk about Chef is a, when I ain't around, who the father of the house? Chef. When I ain't around, we got a whole village. You know what I mean? We got family. We got my sister-in-law is involved. We got a whole thing. And my thing is this. First of all, I don't do this alone. I get credit for it because I'm the one that they got my last name. But it's a whole village that's around me that helps raise my kids mm-hmm. because of my job and my responsibilities. But here's the thing. When it comes to my kids and whoever they're going to become, whoever they're going to be, I don't care. All I want them to do is to be happy in life. And to be themselves throughout the process of life. So whoever you are, whoever you're going to be, it's my job as your father, as your parent, to facilitate those things and put you in a position to succeed at those things. It's not my job to change who you are, Brandon. It's not my job to tell Fred, you're not like that. You don't like that. It's not my job to tell me you don't like something. If you come to me and say, Dad, I like this, or Dad, I am this. Now it's my job to sit down with you and understand where you're coming from, who you are, because you're different than me at this point. And now I need to educate myself and get knowledge on it. Okay, educate me. Let's sit down and let's go over these things. Let's talk about this because I don't know. I come from a different school, but this is not the only school in town. Mm. So it's my job to understand that as a parent. If you got one way of doing things, that's for you. But your kids need more. You know what I mean? Especially as you keep having kids. My kids range from 19 years old to two. So I can't parent Kavya the same way I parent Zaire. That was 19 years ago. The world has changed. I've grown, I've changed, and now I have to grow with the world. So when Kav come to me and say, Dad, I'm blah, 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 I didn't want to do this and that, I may not know what it is, but you know what I got? I got Google. I got friends. you know what I'm saying? I got TV show. Whatever it is, I got to figure out a way to make sure that my kids is getting what they need from me, and that's it. It's not my job to make them anything. It's my job to build them up and lift them up. We know the whole Lion King, right? When he went out there and lift Simba up, that's what I do for my kids. I lift them up and I say, you feel me? That's our job. It's our job to lift our kids up. Not to be like, boy, shut up. You ain't. Girl, shut up. You ain't. That's not our role.
In the jungle. The mighty jungle, say what? The lion sleeps. Y'all don't know it?
I know all the. I know all the words.
Me too.
You know it? Well, I know, come with
absolutely,
me. Stay with me then.
You don't know all the words. You gonna mumble some of them? Like,
the mighty jungle, the lion sleep. Sing with me.
Hey,
sing with me.
You know it.
The lion sleeps tonight.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, on that note, though, because, you know, obviously, you know, you talked about your village and you mentioned many people in that village. Because you have to live publicly, because you are famous.
Zaire almost beat his ass.
Don't do that.
He backed him down.
Fred, don't do that.
No. Hey, no, he did, though.
He said he backed him down. He said he backed him down. I had to. I couldn't get him on the perimeter. If I got him on the perimeter, he'd tell my ass.
At what point, though, is he going to start beating?
No, I'm not playing
it's
no
coming.
More. No, it's over.
Hey, for sure, though. You know what, though? You know how I knew he thought he was going to win? Because he was, like, for real pissed. Like, he felt like you took the game from him. That you said, you know what?
And his friends was there, right?
Right, he's like, I'm not going to play this like where you want it played. Like, you old man him, which is fine. I do that to my son all the time. Like, my son had a preseason game, bro, and he didn't tackle. You know what I did? I got my Super Bowl helmet and my pads. And every Tuesday morning, we had blocking drills and tackling drills. And I ain't care. Because I said, you know what? If you ain't going to tackle me, I ain't going to let you play. You know why? Because they're going to say Jordan Clark gets ran over on a tackle. And I'm not living like that.
Jordan Clark, the son of Ryan Clark.
Right. Boom. That's exactly.
So, but speaking of that, though, like you talked about your village, obviously you have a very public marriage because you're married to someone who's famous. Mm-hmm. And you have a blended family, mm-hmm. which I do as well. So kind of take us through the things that Gabby has had to endure, the things that she's had to do for you.
You're saying Gabby like you know Gabby. Gabby, that's her nickname.
I watch a lot of TV.
Gabby.
I be bored as hell. You can't tell me you ain't watch Bring It On. You better bring it. It has already been brought in. I remember.
You know all the Gabby lines. Hey. Watch out, bro. He know all the Gabby lines.
You do not have to. He's messy. He's messy. I'm 5'11".
She's bougie as hell now. So you better have it.
Hey, you gotta show out. Yeah. That
your pocketbook's gotta be heavy when you mess around with my wife now.
I play football. I don't have my own shoe line. D-Wade is safe. But like, it's,
Gabby got them lean knees on happy.
And this is kind of, you know, the conversation, you know, Channing and I had it. We all had it last night. Was there ever kind of that, you know, you ain't my mama moment, yeah, or those moments that got tense in
Zaire
the household?
Is the one I was concerned with when he was already that dude, and then Gabby comes in the picture, and he's already Twitter with 200,000 followers and all. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you ever have that you ain't my mama moment?
But here's the thing. So the boys, Zaire and Dada, my nephew, I took custody of both of them, and I took custody of Zaire as well. Zaire and Dada was 9 years old, and Zaya was 3 years old. So she actually came into him at a very young age, but it was still the uncomfortableness. And if she was here, she'd tell you all about it. But here's the thing. What we had to do as a family, we had to understand that, listen, she's not your mother. Okay? Your mother is your mother. No one is trying to take place of your mother.
Right?
So in the world today, we call this bonus moms. This is a bonus mother for you. This is someone who you can bounce things off. This is a friend. So it came from a friendship standpoint in the beginning. And then that grew into, hey, some things going on at the school. We all know she in Atlanta working, or she's whatever she's working. She flying in and she going up to the school. Like, okay, well, my kid, what you not going to do to my kids? And the kid's seeing that now. The kids in the parent-teacher conference is like, yeah, what she said.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So we built it organically, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't forced on them to say, hey, all right, now this is your mama. No, no, they have a mother. She's not their mother, right? She, you know, she's their, what we can call a bonus mom. They don't even call her they don't call her Gab. They don't call her Gab. They call her a total different name that her family calls her because we want it to be a, you know,
can
this
we get that
family.
Name? You know, I'm messy. Can we get that name?
No,
or
Nikki.
Private?
Everyone calls her Nikki.
Nikki? What's
my
Nikki?
Wife's name is Nikki. It's
Nikki?
A middle name thing that goes back to someone, her grandfather couldn't say the name or grandmother couldn't say the name.
Now see, you talking that stuff and being messy. Now, had I called her Nikki, then he had an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how you know Nikki?
I called her TV name.
How you know Nikki?
I called her TV name.
That's personal.
I'd be like, can you hold that camera? Can you hold that camera? Man, how the hell you know my wife?
I was gonna tell you, and RC, if D-Wade got up in the motherfucking Lee knees and ran over there, I wouldn't go help your motherfucking ass. I ain't gonna lie.
And I wasn't gonna rush him because he played football. I'd have threw something at him though, because I'm gonna take my legs out or some shit. I don't know what y'all be doing, so I'd have threw something at him.
He come over in the lean, he gotta come like Daniel, son. You feel me? Mr. Miyagi, somebody.
If you wear that jacket, you confident and say, I ain't running up on that man.
I'm sure confident.
We gonna talk from this part.
I'm sure confident.
Because of Jackson 5 with the zipper.
And I'll go, hey, listen, this is what I know.
Michael Jackson jacket with all the zippers.
Channing, but like, you know, like it's crazy, like you talk about that story and like the way that your wife was integrated into her family, it was different for me. I have an oldest daughter that's not with my wife. And I was 19, you know what I'm saying? And I was a 19-year-old kid in Louisiana in, you know, in 1998 who was going to have a baby with a white girl. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Whose family, when I was getting recruited, when they went to LSU, had, you know, signs in their yard like, go to LSU, do all these things. You know what I'm saying? And then once they found out their daughter was pregnant for me, because they didn't know that that was going on, like, I was just, you know, some nigga down the street who was going to be an athlete, not take care of his kid. You see what I'm saying? And so now you get into this where, like, you've always wanted your baby. They had questions about whether or not they wanted your baby. And, you know, you take care of the mom and you take care of your daughter and you get her when she's 3 years old. And then, you know, the mom tells you she wants to go off and do something else. And, you know, you now have a wife and you get married and you take your daughter. And now you're dealing with this because, like, all I've ever been good at, like, from the jump is loving my children. Like, that's it. Like, the rest of the stuff in the world, like, I F up at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the tallest. I was never the fastest. Like, all that other stuff I wasn't good at. But loving my kids, that was instant. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw them little farts, and right away, I was like, I freaking love you. Right? And nothing you can do is ever going to make me not feel that way. But then you bring this woman in, and listen, she'll tell you, I'm like that with the kids she had for me, too. You know, like, if she say something foul to them and I don't like it, she'll look at me like, you got a problem? Absolutely. but I'm saying that to myself, not out loud. And, bro, like there were times, fellas, like, we're having these conversations, man, and I'm away on trips and I'm getting calls that my daughter's doing something or she's this and she's that, where I know my wife needs to be protected. Right? Like, I know that my job as her husband is to take care of her. But all I can think about is my child. Right? Like, all I could think about is that her mom's not around. All I could think about is that she's having to deal with these things. And I couldn't get myself out of protecting her to protect my wife. Right? And so you go through these situations, bro, and she's crying. Right? And all I ever knew is you always had me. Like, it was never a question. I was there and I ain't leaving ever. Right? You had my wife. Like, she's always taking care of you like you were her own. And having her ask me, why did my mom never want me? Right? And so at that point, you go through a range of emotions, right? One, you have to explain to her how worthy she is. You feel me? Like, I gotta tell her, nah, don't matter what they do, this is who you are. This is who God made you to be. This is how I feel about you, right? And then you go through the other thing, like, I've been here your whole mother effing life. Your whole life, I have never left. When they thought there was another decision to make with you, I was there, right? When she wanted to leave and do this, I was there. I've made every decision in life so that you're okay, right? But you always have the dynamic, whether you want to or not, that, you know what, I know that that's not your child.
And RC, that's deep, all right. That was something, man. Like, this, hey, it was damn near. Y'all trying to make me cry on shows. With that, though, was there anything there? Like RC just said about with the mixed families. Was there anything there with you and Gabby?
Yeah, it was something there early on. I mean, my wife got sued by my ex-wife.
Yeah.
And think about coming home to that. You know what I mean? Out of practice.
Yeah, yeah. You get sued with $200, you okay. Yeah. You get sued with bread, then you know you've got to figure
ultimately,
it out.
But once again, you know, as hard as it was, and as hard as it always is to take that high road, we took that. Because ultimately, no matter what was going on in the midst of anger or hurt, the kids come first. And so our whole job this whole time has always been to not allow the kids. One day they're going to be able to read what the hell is going on, and that's unfortunate. But we're never putting shade on their mother, yeah. Right? We're not doing any of that, right? We're the adults. We're the imperfect ones that have made these decisions. Only thing we're going to do is lift them up, and we're going to lift their mother up, and we're going to lift everyone up. And that's what we all did. We all made sure that all times that no matter the situation, how ugly my divorce was, all we did is pump positive juice into the relationship that their mother would have with Zaya and Zaya. And that's all that mattered to me and my wife. And it was hard. My wife wanted to sue back. My wife wanted to go because it's taking at her profession and what she do and what she's built. You know what I mean? The things that were said. But ultimately, it's about these kids. And if you leave with love and if you love unconditionally, then none of that is going to matter at the end.
I wanted to make sure I was on point. You know, we don't script anything on here. But there's some questions, you know, some things that I came across that I wanted to kind of know myself. But you wrote Zaire a letter before he went off to boarding school. You said, my goal as a parent is to raise kids who know their worth and that are better than I could ever be. I want to ask you, what does that mean to you?
So you guys, if you guys have young kids, right, boys or girls, you understand most of the time they want to be like you. Mm-hmm. They want to live up to the expectations of who you are and what the world has put on them. And so Zaire is my firstborn. I had Zaire. He was born when I was 20 years old in college. Didn't know what the hell I was going to do in life at that time.
Been there.
20 years old. I'm like, my life's over. Right. But one thing about Zaire being my firstborn and me, you know, being good at the game of basketball and him following that footstep to play the game of basketball. It's this unfair things that's put on Zaire. And the one thing I like to always let Zaire know is, listen, your name is not Dwayne Wade. Your name is Zaire Wade. You will blaze your own path. You will have your own journey. You know what I mean? And I don't look at you and say, he needs to be like me. You're going to be you. It's my job to find out the greatness in you and be able to show you a little bit, hey, this is where you're great at. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about where people say your dad is or what your dad does. Your dad is old and retired.
Right.
He's moved on. This is your show, son. You know what I'm saying? Right. So my job is always to show my kids like their greatness, because I feel like we all have a purpose in this life, right? We're all on this earth for a certain reason. We have a purpose. We all have greatness inside of us. It's my job to get them to their greatness. And so through basketball, we're going to get there. Whether it's basketball or not, we're going to get there through the lessons that basketball teaches us together. Right?
That's real.
And so that's my job as a parent. My job ain't say, listen, you ain't scoring 20. One thing about Zaire is I realized very early Zaire don't play like me. He has similarities to the way I play, but his game is different. I score and I like to score. Now, I wasn't the best scorer in the game, but I like to score. And
pretty
I
dang
pass.
Close, coach. Huh? You was pretty dang close.
I was good. But, like, you know, like if you look at the records, and I'm not in the top 10. But anyway.
You brought a lot Zaire, to the table. You too.
He pissed me off. Like, he just pissed me off.
For the people out there that's going to go to the numbers.
Nah, you too humble, bro. You was a dog.
That's the numbers, bro.
No, I'm just saying. It's some numbers, people. I'm just speaking to
ain't
the
no numbers.
Numbers.
This ain't no numbers. We talking about
the people out there. The people out there that's looking at this camera is the numbers.
All of that. But I'll say it for you. But fuck all of that. He was a dog.
He was a dog, man.
What I had to do as a parent is I had to, and it took me, and this wasn't, I didn't say, it didn't come in one day. I had to understand that Zaire was not me. And it took me, and guys, everything in life that I do, I realize that it's not me who's doing it. You got to look at yourself in the mirror. You got to go to that mirror and look in the mirror. And when you have kids and say, all right, if my kid is going to be boom, 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 how are you going to deal with it, sir? So when it came to Zaire playing basketball, I had to realize, Zaire, you're not me. Your strengths and your talents is this. Let me tap into that with you. Okay. It's not about me. And when it came to Zaya, let me tap in. Okay, Zaya, let me look in the mirror, because I'm going to tell y'all something. And people don't want to hear this shit and don't believe this shit. At 3 years old, me and my wife looked at each other and we said, what if? What if Zaya come home? At the time, the name was Zion. If Zion comes home one day and say, Dad, I'm gay, or Dad, I'm this, I'm that, what are you going to do, sir?
That's real.
And so what I did at three, when Zaya was three, is I prepared myself and I looked in the mirror and I said, yeah, what are you going to do? Because you in a locker room where all the guys use is nothing but you gay, you this, you that, you home,
that's facts,
whatever. So I'm in that locker room every day. What are you going to do, sir, when it comes, if your child comes home and say, Dad, sorry, I don't want no parts of basketball. I don't want no parts of your life.
That's
this
huge.
Is my life, and this is how I am. How are that's you going to do it?
You thought about that at three?
I thought about that at 3 years
when
old.
When did Zaya have that conversation with
8
you?
8 years old, 5 years later.
Okay, so here's my question, right? Because that was important. I just kind of explained to you how I feel about my kids, right? There's an obsession with my children that's probably unhealthy, right? And so as soon as I heard about Zaya, I started paying attention. I became Monday morning father, right? And I said, this is what I do. This is what I'd feel. This is what I would say. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you, bro. Everything that you did had nothing to do with the thoughts that I had. Mm. And you made me check myself, right? Because I claim I love my kids, right? I claim I support my kids. And I'm watching another man who I admire, right? Another man who's lived a life not only on the court but off the court that is to be emulated, do things differently than I would as a parent. And then, very recently, I looked at your child, right? I looked at Zaya. And I know the only thing that we want to do is to see our children smile, right? Mm-hmm. But what I also realized, I was like, so he's been loving. He's been supportive. He's become a champion beyond his child. And I said, and it's looked easy. I can't believe that it was easy. So can you kind of take us on the journey? Because we see the destination. Mm-hmm. Take us on the journey from finding out, from Zaya saying, Dad, this is who I am, to seeing D. Wade on talk shows, D. Wade being a champion for his, not only for his daughter, right, but for anybody who looks at Zaya and says, you know what, that's what I hope to have.
Growing up in the inner city of Chicago, in the hood, you're told that boys do this. Right. Boys play football. Mm-hmm. Boys play basketball. Boys play baseball. Boys date girls. Whatever the case may be. You're told this is what you do. Right? So, I'm no different. I'm raised that way. I'm in the locker room. I say all the things that everyone is saying. I'm not sitting up here like I have never done or said anything, right, when it comes against the opposite sex. Because I was ignorant. I didn't understand.
Right.
When it hit my doorstep at 3 years old, like I said, when me and my wife looked at each other, right? And the reason we looked at each other is because of this, you know, as kids, I used to put on heels. I used to do all those things. I try to put on whatever my sisters wear. When all my sisters did, I try to do those things. So at first I said to myself, oh no, I did that. So I ain't just doing the things that I did. And then it kept going further and further. And then me and my wife had to look at each other and say, well, what if? And at that moment, everything that I was taught went out the window, because now I'm a parent. And my sole job and my sole responsibility is to make sure that this kid grow up knowing that it's supported and is loved by his father and the other parent, right? That's my only job. And so when it came down to Zaya, at 3 years old, I looked at it and said, okay, D, I looked in the mirror. And now, not only did I look in the mirror, when I went in the locker room, I started changing the way I talked. I started changing how I listen to things, and I started challenging people in a different way. Once I started to ask questions to my wife friends, because no one is in the NBA or played basketball has never been openly gay.
Right, right.
I've never had a conversation with anybody in our locker room. Openly in our locker room. So I was ignorant when it comes to this space. So when my child came home at 8 years old, we were living in Chicago at the time. After I left Miami, which we talked about, my child came home. And the reason my child didn't come home, it was an assignment that was done at school. And the assignment at school would say, tell me about yourself. And this was the time where Zaya took the time to say, I'm black, I'm this, and I'm gay. At the time, Zaya said, I am gay. So the teacher called
home.
At 8 years old. The teacher called home and said, hey, I just want you guys to know we post these all over the school, but we didn't want to post this if you guys didn't blah, blah, blah. Right. So we sat down with the teacher and talked about the teacher at that time was a gay female.
Okay.
Gave Zion the confidence.
That's a blessing.
To be able to say those words. So when we sat down and it was and I was in the room across the way, I prepared myself for 5 years for that moment, not knowing what I was going to do or say. When Zion sat down with me and was across the way, just like me and you are right now, Ryan, I'm looking at my child. I don't care about anything else. I'm looking at my child and I'm looking at my responsibilities. I'm looking at a child that's crying, that's afraid to tell their father.
Wow.
That they're different than what you probably thought I was, Dad. I don't want to play basketball. I'm not a boy. I feel that I am X, Y, and Z, right? I'm looking at my child scared to tell me. And I feel like I am pretty open at this time. Right. I realized that I needed to do better and I needed to do more and I needed to educate myself. And so what I did is I picked up the phone. I researched as much as I can because I needed to understand. I sat down with my child and I asked questions because I didn't know. Because it's not our job and our responsibility to tell you who you are. You are going to be who you're going to be. It's my job to try to put you in the best positions to help you reach that goal of who you want to be. But it's not my job to tell you. Right. You know what I mean? And right now, we experiencing that with Zaya, my 13-year-old, who last year we came out and we spoke to the world that, hey, my 13-year-old came home and said, Dad, this is who I am. I am a transgender child. And we didn't come out until she was 12 to the world. But the reason we came out to the world was because I got tired of trying to hide my child. Right. Mm. Taking photos with the rest of my family, not posting Zaya. Because we posted one thing on her birthday and there was so many bad comments that we wanted to hide her from it. But it came to a point where I said, am I hiding her from it or am I hiding myself from it?
That's another huge thing to me, right? Like the first two things, the first two feelings you get when you have children are love and protection, right?
Yep.
And so like I remember hearing it and saying, how would I balance those two things, right? Because, you know, like we made jokes about me not worrying about being knocked out. But like the other thing is like, I'm just a fighter. Like I've always been, you know what I'm saying? Like I got like two modes. Either we're getting along very well or like, let's just throw hands and see who wins.
That's called football, people.
You know what I'm saying? That's And so, not basketball.
And
like, I'm gonna be honest, man. Like when I watch you as a father and you know, like the only interaction we've ever had, man, is you posted something I posted on social media. And I ain't gonna lie, I told my kids I was famous. I was like, D-Wade reposted me on his story. I'm just letting y'all know.
He reposted you?
Man, I felt so good. I ain't even gonna lie, dog. I'm not.
Goddamn, bro!
My guy be talking real like that. You know what I'm saying? My guy be talking about the game. He talks some real things, and I'll be like, what he said.
Right.
But
right,
you know what I'm saying, right. OD? So how do you balance, right? Because like you said, you know about the locker room. Right? You know about the way people perceive certain things.
I see. Not balance. How do you move it forward?
Yeah, like, and so, like, doing, like...
It's not even moving forward, bro. Like, I got tears in my eyes right now, and I hate that we, you know, I'm the one, you know...
It's always the big dude that cries a lot, though. The big dude always cries.
We talked about this machismo thing, and I got tears in my eyes because I'm thinking about, like, the reality is you're part of the 1%.
Yes.
You know, like not a lot of dudes, bro. Like think about that because we think about, you know, throwing the ball with our boys and doing those things. And so, you know, you 1% of being able that unconditional love that you talked about. And a lot of people don't understand what that means. You know, for the majority of us is we've seen people lose their lives. Yes. We've seen people take their own lives.
Talk to them.
Right.
Talk to
because him. Of not feeling uncomfortable, not feeling comfortable with coming to our parents and saying this is what's going on.
Talk to
That's
him.
What and, I'm saying.
And then also, like, how many fathers have said, especially in our community, that that ain't my son.
Wonder. That's the thing. That's right? It.
So, but if we gonna be real and you talk about no layups, if we gonna be really real in the locker room, how will we deal with that?
With Zaya. With you saying at 3 you saw it, at 8 you knew it, and then you're moving forward. People that dealt with it, people that are going through it, and people that in the future that have that 2-year-old son in a year from now. Like, what advice would you give to them? Because this is real. This is going to happen. This is so many people's lives that they don't understand what you're talking to.
Well, you
give them advice. That's what we want on this show.
You just
give
said
them
it.
Advice.
You just said it. I'm over here living real motherfucking life. If everybody on the outside want to act like things is we grew up in a certain era and things was a certain way.
Right.
Life evolves, people evolve. This is not, 2021 is not the first time that we've experienced gay people. We've experienced transgender, LGBTQ+. This is not the first time. Right. But we're in an era now where people are feeling a little bit more comfortable and confident to come out and express who they really are. Right. Like we're in that generation now. Right. So my thing is this. Ultimately, when it comes to my child and everyone says they are willing to do this, I'm willing to die for mine. So if you want to say something against mine, if you want to hurt mine, come and talk to me first, because my child has the right and ability to be whoever they want to be in this life. And I'm going to make sure of it. I don't care what they decide to do. If it's this is my job. I am the leader of this family. As the leader of this family, I'm going to make sure who you are is shown and shouted out to the world, because I don't want my kids to not feel comfortable. And we're already black people in the world. That's right. Enough. Right. Now we want to add, like, I got people out here, dog. I got people out here that will tell me that me and my wife are trying to get some kind of financial gain off of my child coming out saying that she's transgender. But I got over 100 in the bank. I don't need that. That's not about me.
You say, you got that over 100?
Hold on. He sat up. Quick.
Not about that. Not about money.
Hey, look at it. Look.
100.
Different tears. You heard what he said?
You know what? Yeah.
They don't understand. They took
50%.
D, how you? Follow through.
Hey, D-Wade, this ain't my show. This like when you hit the one off the backboard and you was like, hey, I remember Kobe did it, so I did it. I'm gonna leave now.
No. But I'm saying,
but yeah, we bullshit. But yeah.
It's not about that. For me, I saw anything. One day, we don't know when that day is gonna come where our expiration date, all of our expiration date is gonna come, right? When I leave this earth, I want my family, I want my mom, my kids, everybody to say, you know what? He did everything he could to make sure that we felt seen, we felt loved, and we were heard. And that's all I care about when it comes to my family. I don't care about the outside noise. We don't listen. Zaya, don't give a fuck about the outside noise.
Because of you, though.
Yeah, Zaya don't care.
Because of you.
But you know what? You know what, B. Marsha? I was watching Pose. Thank you. I love the Pose crew. They have become family to me and my family. I was watching Pose with my daughter, right? The first season one of Pose. And it was a scene in there where the father came home and threw his son out of the house because he was looking at these magazines that was what he perceived, gay magazines, right, that was inappropriate about men. He kicked them out on the streets. And at that moment, my child was like, I never experienced that. I don't even know what that, like, this was foreign to her. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I was like, thank you for allowing me to be her father. Because it's lesser people out there that can't get over themselves. It's not about the child. It's about you individually. So people can't get over themselves and their pride and their ego. You know what I'm saying? Get out the fucking way and let your child to be who they are. And that's what I try to do. I try to get out the way and say, you know what? This is who you are.
In that situation, what did you tell your daughter?
Y'all were watching the show and she saw that.
I didn't have to say anything. She seen it. For the first time, she saw that she don't have to live life like that. That she has a family that loves her and support her. And it's like, once again, that our village loves her and support her. And when I tell y'all this, we didn't know a lot about transgender. We didn't know a lot about lesbian and gay and queer. We didn't know a lot about the initials that everyone say. But what we had to do was we had to go educate ourselves. So she's educated us on a life outside of the black community and just us.
So in the education, because now on top of being an NBA legend, on top of being a great father, that you now also have to stand in front of that movement as well, so that Zayas and the next generation of Zayas are treated in a way that they're not only a part of their community, but a part of our. I'm talking about even just black people. Mm-hmm. They're treated differently. Mm-hmm.
Those numbers are staggering.
It's unbelievable. It makes me sick.
It's amazing the information that comes out about, you know, black transgender women. You know, it's so sad, man. And
Freya, you know what? It's so sad. Thing where people feel like when you have a little boy, right? We grow up as young men and we like, oh, I can't wait to have a little boy because I'm gonna give him all my everything I got, right? You have this little boy and you want this little boy, you play football, basketball, you want them to play that sport, right? That's what we pass on, what we know, our knowledge, right? It's nothing in us to be like, oh, when I have a little boy, I can't wait to do X, Y. No, we want them to play football, we want to play basketball. That's what we did, right?
That's right.
But when my child And I'm trying to present that. And my child is like, no, this is not who I am. I have to listen. At some point, as a parent, I know you're the parent. And I'm not saying that people out there get it wrong when they feel that, oh, the child is now parenting the parents. No, it's not that. But one thing you understand from a young age, your child is going to be who they are. You have to pay attention. You have to watch who they are. You have to be able to go there where they at and be able to bring that up, right? So they can feel confident in whoever they're going to become. Mm-hmm. And so for me, as a parent, when it came down to Zaya, yes, I tried to put a basketball in Zaya's head. Zaya was like, nope, don't want no part of sports. Tell granddad right. to stop buying me baseball mitts because I don't want none of that. You know what I mean?
Right, you know what I mean?
Tell dad, no, dad, I don't want to do no push-ups. Don't tell me to man up.
Yeah, right.
I had to learn.
So, hey, hold on. Hey, I got this. One of the things that I saw that you said, my goal as a parent is to raise kids who know their worth and that they are better than I could ever be. So what's Zaya's worth?
Zaya's worth is outside of this world. We have no idea. And I posted something the other day and I pushed hashtag iconic because the movement that Zaya, the space and the voice that she has, mm-hmm. and I'm not putting on her, she's 13 years old. She's a child still. But the
she be fly
ability.
As hell, though. She be fly as hell.
And know it.
Hey.
And know it.
And be stunned on her. Yes.
But the ability that Zaya has with an interview, with coming to her father and saying, Dad, this is who I am, and having me as a father to be able to speak out for her. Zaya don't speak much. Me and my wife speaks for her, right? Because we're sitting down with her. We're like, okay, we just learned something new. Okay, so this is what demisexual mean. Okay, I didn't know nothing about demisexual. My bad. Like, we sit down with her, and then we come out to the world after we go research and talk to all our friends and say, okay, this is where we at now with Zaya. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so the whole thing is what I like to tell people is, like, it's not that our kid is running the asylum. We are learning from our child of who they are. And it's our job to now go. And once they say these are the things I'm interested in, to go do the search, to go do that research and come back with them with answers. And so I have answers and questions.
I was extremely pissed off with you earlier, right? Because you was in that whole, oh, if I'm counted in the top five, like, it's cool.
You know, man, that's my humble beginnings I come from.
If they think I can score, oh, it's great. Right? Like that's who you are.
This way mine. It's good?
But, like, here's what I'm going to tell you, man. And I count my, I'm beyond straight up. Like, that's not football, all that stuff. I count myself a good parent. Bro, you got to give yourself some credit. Right? You got to give yourself credit for listening. You got to give yourself credit for the humility of being a black man who succeeded from the places you've succeeded and being willing to listen to your child, right? Like, I don't know how y'all grew up, but I know I ain't have an opinion in my house. And so for you to listen to that, bro, and for you to
this
now.
This is life and death what I'm dealing with.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, hold on. Before you even go there, come on. No layups. No layups. D-Wade, confidence, swagger, he know what he is. It ain't about giving himself credit. Can we just give him flowers? Because you know who you is back when you had the little
Band-Aid?
Yeah, the Band-Aid on your eye. He came in being disruptive. Let's give him flowers. Let's give him flowers for what you said. It's not about him knowing. He know. Let's give him, bro, can we give him flowers? Flowers.
Bro, y'all went down here. Had to wait, hey, like, come on now.
I didn't have that. You was tripping.
I had stitches. I didn't want to wear that brown bandit. First of all,
he was trying to be cute.
No, until now, I didn't know that it was band-aids made for our complexion.
Yeah.
Think about it. When we grew up, they gave us one band-aid. It was that light-skinned band-aid. I ain't light-skinned. So I was like, let me come with some flavor because this don't go with my looks.
Bruh. What's up with the pink hair and the braids at 40,
Let's talk
bro?
About it. Let's talk
Are
about
you
it.
Going through a midlife crisis? Is that Gabby? Because a nigga don't get braids at 40. Nigga. That's an 11-year-old haircut.
Hey.
Why you doing the dye and the bleach, bro? You know what? You just brought up something I done seen because I'm a Miami guy.
Yeah.
Bro, you talk retired. You got 40. And you started doing the colorful hair and the braids, bro.
Hey, he also, though he didn't want to explain this to us,
has over $100 million in the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not forgotten that.
You just get bank statements. You don't know what you got in there.
You know what I'm finna do? I'm finna ask for his number, though, before we leave so I can get some investment.
I'm on a low totem pole.
Bro, what's up with the hair and all this?
I felt that question was going to come. And you know
it
what?
Gotta come,
and when
bitch.
I looked at the panel, I was like, it's definitely coming from you.
Four dude with pink
every
hair.
Every
I got to ask you this.
I just don't. Channel, you know what? I don't give a
Okay, pause. Pause.
No,
he said.
No, I'm going to live my thing is this. Whatever, I'm going to live my life my way. And you know what? If I feel like I want to color my hair at 50, I'm going to color my hair at 50 because can't nobody tell me what to do.
See?
I am free. They said we free, right?
Yeah, we free.
Well, I'm free to do what the hell I want to do.
Yeah, and but if people I wanna pay don't do that. That's what he's saying, though. You got.
I'm a fly dude. I feel like sometimes I want to be flyer, so I go with a different hair color.
And that's what you do when you get fly.
I go with blonde. I go with but the
fingernail polish, toenail polish.
Let me tell you this. Isn't it? Let me give you the real, though. I was just with you.
No.
What it is for me, and I don't understand what people understand this, but it's an extension of my expression of my creativity. Right? I feel that I'm a very creative person. And throughout this pandemic, I felt trapped. I felt that my creativity had no space. It couldn't go nowhere. It was living inside of me. I couldn't get it out because we were locked in and we were like cage animals, right? And in the midst of that pandemic, I told my wife, babe, I need to do something. I need to do something crazy. And she was like, what it is? I said, I'm about to color my hair pink. She was like, what? But for me, like, even when I get, like, since I've been older, I now have tattoos. I didn't have tattoos for 35, 6 years. I now have tattoos. I color my hair. I get paint on my nails. It's all an extension of my creativity. Sometimes my creativity is oozing out of me. And some ways I know how to express it is I express it on my own physical body. And so my hair, my nails, my this, my dress, that's a part of me that people don't want to see because all they see is the athlete you. I'm a bad motherfucker on that court, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean? We could fight, we could talk, we could do whatever. And so they put you in that position and say, oh, he's a basketball player who's tough. A tough guy don't paint his nails. A tough guy don't get his hair colored. No, I'm versatile. I'll be tough, and I'll come in. You feel me?
I love it.
I'm rocking it. You know what I'm saying?
I've been over here like, fuck. RC gonna let me talk? Fuck. I know Channing ain't gonna let me talk.
I talk a ton.
And B gonna cut off everybody.
No, hold time out. Time out. I gotta plead for him to let me finish.
Fred! No, time out. No, respect. No, let's be real. You say no layup. No, because you just... No. Forget D-Wade right now. You just call me up. Have I not the last two shows chilled?
All right, you cool.
All right, no. Give me my respect.
You cool.
All right, bet. Give me my respect.
I don't know when I'm coming back.
You cool.
So
baby.
I said before I got here, I'm going to let D-Wade talk more than me and nobody else. I'm going to be straight up with you.
That's a thing on the show. That was a thing on the show, me cutting people off. So the last three shows, I just been sent back. That's why I've been chilling.
They call me Unc on the show, right? I'm more of the serious and let's go, right? Zaya, she just did an interview with Michelle Obama. I thought that was courageous, man, and she did an amazing fucking job. We talk about bravery and, you know, celebrity dad, you know, perception. In our own community, though, in the black community, you're going to get the most shit from the black community more than anybody else because they don't understand it. I want to ask you, in this situation, who was the most, like, we talk about bravery. Was it Zaya, did you get it from her to go a step further? Was she more brave than you to want to, you know, make this known and inspire the next generation? Or was it you being able to say, look, let me shape and move this conversation to help other people? How can I make it easier for everyone else by, you know, using your platform and your leverage.
Another thing about this show, too.
Yeah, I kind of go long-winded.
Yeah. Listen. Why I cut him off. Like his ass. Damn, nigga, can you get the question out?
Yeah. It's a million things.
So, D-Wade, why you playing, dog? I didn't move from, like, the red D-Wade to the white D-Wade. Like, I'm in a bad place. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Your boy, so for like, hey, dog. Because of the pandemic.
I should have brought more wine.
I knew I was coming on the show and had to wear jeans, so I couldn't eat today, dog. I'm in a bad place.
To address what Fred said, and this goes back to what I said in the beginning, is are you doing it for your child or are you doing it for you? Right? Me and my wife had this conversation. Are we protecting Zaya? Are we keeping her out of pictures? Are we not saying anything because it's
for her protection or is it for our protection as right. the ones that's out there in the public eye, knowing the scrutiny that's going to come back. And so once I seen her bravery to come out and have the confidence to speak her truth, because I know so many people, we have friends who 20, 30, 40 years hid from who they really were. And when I seen an 8-year-old have the confidence to come out and say, Dad, Nikki, family, this is who I am. It was nothing else I could do but support that, because I know how hard it is. Even as a 39-year-old man, right, it's hard for me to come out sometime and say how I really feel or certain things about myself. I still keep it hidden because of maybe what the world would say. So I look at my child and I say, thank you for leading the way. Now let me take it from here, because so I am your father. Man. I am in the public eye. You sit back. We will take it from here. You led the way. You gave us the confidence to step out and say, our child is this. And understand this. It's ever evolving.
Okay.
Who our child is today may not be who our child is in 10 years.
Okay.
We're going down this journey with our child. Do you guys know the person you was at 20 was not who you was at 30, was not who you're going to be at 40, 50, and so on. So I know that.
But is it you or is it Zaire? Because also, I talk about getting messy, but I feel like my role on this show is to play like the James Brown, is to play Barbara Walters and all of that. So is it really you that started this, or was it Zaire? Because there's something special about Zaire.
Oh, I didn't start. First of all, Zaire started this.
Zaire.
We all are led by Zaire, who's 13 years old. Now, Zaire, Gab, myself, whoever's in the public eye to have a voice that people know about. All of our job was to, at the end of the day, was to see nothing but love. We don't see color, and we don't see sexuality, we don't see gender, we see love. And so Zaire, and I give him a lot of credit, as a young teenage boy, to be able to go to school and his friends and people who writing on his social media about his sister, about his sibling, and to be able to handle it the way he's handled it. And to understand that he was going to go out in the world and get these questions and get this jokes and all that. And to see him say, I don't care about none of that. All I care about is my sister, my sibling being happy. I don't care what, even if he don't understand it. At the end of the day, what I'm dealing with people is I'm dealing with life and death. It's people in the transgender community that are getting killed. It's kids that are murdering themselves. They're hanging themselves. They're killing themselves because you know what? Some symbol is acceptance. Some symbol is unconditional love. It's not being given to these kids. Mm-hmm. And I'll be goddamn if my child gonna be that person because of some symbol is me supporting who you are. So, Boosie, all the people who got something to say, Jay Boogie who just came out recently, all the people who got something to say about my kids, I thank you because you're allowing the conversation to keep going forward. Because you know what? You might not have the answer today. I don't have all the answers, but we're growing from all these conversations. So I thank everybody for even hating and starting those conversations, because those conversations are starting other conversations that we need to have and that's happening out there. So I don't hate it.
I'm going to say this, bro. Hey, you're a real life G, D-Wade, bro.
Because like, and that could have been a whole nother damn 30 minutes about what you just said.
I thought this show should have been 3 hours.
All right, bet,
because I'm cute.
Bet, but my belief is stronger than your doubt.
Yes, sir.
What is that? What does that mean?
So I actually made that quote up in 2006 when I won the championship. And my whole life until that moment, I was always less than in the eyes of people when it came to basketball. Right? No one gave me a chance. You know, you go into those big events, whether you at a seminar or whether you at a camp, they say 1 in 1 million makes it to the NBA, the statistics. No one, I ain't gonna say no one. My core people believed in me, right. You know. But at the end of the day, when I won that championship in 2006, I was sitting back and I was like, "What is it that represents Dwyane Wade?" And at the end of the day, my belief in myself and my loved ones is always stronger than your doubt in them, mm-hmm. Right? And so my belief is stronger than your doubt, because your doubt, which the world is ran on people's doubt, right? People have bad days because of a comment that's made because someone doubt that they look beautiful. Or that they're this or they're that. My belief in myself and what I'm capable of is stronger than your doubt in me. Because that's all we get as athletes. You guys get, we get doubts. As black men, we get doubts. But my belief in myself and what I'm able to accomplish and who I'm going to be, my mom told me when I was a little kid, when I used to walk down the streets and holding my mom's hand, she said, son, your life is bigger than basketball. Ooh. She told me I always told my mom, I want to be a basketball player. She said, son, I hope you do that, but your life is bigger. And I never knew what my mom meant until I retired from the game of basketball. And now I realize my life is bigger. And if it's just being a parent and if it's just supporting my children, whatever it is, my life is bigger than just a sport. So your doubt in me means nothing, because my belief in myself is going to take me places. That's the only reason y'all know who I am, is because my belief in myself.
Right.
So my belief in myself is stronger than your doubt in me, no matter what.
That's amazing. 2006, you put that together, and now you start to talk about it.
Yeah.
I got this from All the Smoke, our brothers, you know, Barnesy.
Dang, I wish I could smoke weed.
Huh? Like I
don't know how.
I gotta show love. They had me on their show.
Matt Barnes and Stephen Jackson.
Yep, there you go. All the Smoke. And the last thing they asked me was, who do you think should sit in that seat next?
Football, basketball, life, business.
Here's you understand though. D-Wade though, what I've learned tonight from D-Wade though, is that he should be the next black president.
No, because they go back into your history too much.
Yeah, they go ahead.
And I lived in Miami for the first. You know,
but I was here since 05 too. So yeah.
I don't want them to dig up. I don't want them digging up my past.
Nah, Ocho say don't get a table leg.
Ocho, y'all got some things I need to say to Ocho too.
We miss Ocho tonight. Don't get a table.
Hey Fred, why would you say that?
I mean, that's
because Ocho always player friendly and don't talk about the job.
Ocho is in Jamaica right now for a reason, because you know I was coming with some.
My last personal question to you on the way out. I want to know what an 06 Wade would have done in the bubble.
Being kicked out?
Because we talked about the bubble wasn't tough.
Damn.
They put an asterisk on the Lakers championship. What would you have done with no fans in the stands, the whole thing? I just want to know that from a pro.
They put an asterisk on the Lakers championship. They put one on our 2012 championship because of the lock. That's what the media does. Ultimately, no matter what you do, and you guys play sports, understand this, to be able to bring a team together, to be able to be the best at the end of the year, is one of the hardest things you will ever do in life. I don't care where you playing the game at, it's hard to be the best. So the fact that the Lakers, LeBron came out as the best and he won his fourth, everybody, the talking heads are going to say all the things that to talk about the negative parts of it. Let's talk about the positivity of it, the mental health that was being dealt with, being locked and caged up into your room for months and having to go out here and perform for the world. Right. Let's talk about the ability that ain't no crowd in there. So everybody, you guys had them guys in practice who can ball.
Practice,
but the lights come on and the game get on and they suck.
Talked about that.
You know about the practice guy. Yeah. So in the bubble, and I'm not saying no names, but in the bubble, listen, you don't have people out there saying your mom is blah, blah, blah. Your mom this, your dad that, you suck. You did. You don't have those different things to kind of take your mind away from the game. You could just focus on the game. But at the same time, the bubble is not something that we're accustomed to. It was like being caged animals trying to win a championship in a bubble. So you got to understand what was hard about the bubble and appreciate that this is different than any other season that we've ever seen, and crown the guys who got to the championship because they earned it and it was not easy.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, we got to answer the question. We got to answer the question.
What? I don't want to answer no question. I got a quick rap. D-Wade, all these dudes want to fight on the court. All these dudes jump up.
They saw.
You're right.
He ain't got on their white pants
I'm
tonight.
Going to start off by saying, all right, I'm. Listen, when it comes down to it, I will fight. All right. Yes. Now, from Chicago, I'm going to throw things. I ain't just fighting you. I ain't saying let's square up. No, I'm looking for microphones and everything they got in the arena. But here's the thing. Every player that was in the position that I was in at some point that was considered a star player, right? Just like Michael Jordan in Chicago, you need Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
I need a Udonis Haslem. Because at the end of the day, I really don't want to take that fire, and I really don't want to fight this. I really don't want to fight you, Ruben Patterson. But you know what? You know who want to fight Ruben Patterson? Udonis Haslem. So with that being said, UD ain't got nothing to worry about in life as long as I'm out here living life. My boy, my man, he is good. So like, but I say that, I'm not saying I'm going to run away from a fight, because I will do it. That's how we grew up. That's the hood. But I'm a brand.
All right.
But you understand.
I understand and fight. Okay. We ain't boxers. That's why you got to have your Donis Haslams in your life.
Just give me the last, answer the last question. Who needs to sit in that seat
Who
next?
Needs to sit in this seat next? Okay, well, because I'm on TNT right now, and I think this guy is very kind of misunderstood, and even though he's talked about who he is, I think Charles Barkley needs to sit in this seat next. Ooh. And I'm going to say that because Charles Barkley, who I've got an opportunity to spend a lot of time with, is a phenomenal human being. He's a phenomenal man. And a lot of being on the TV, as he has been for 20 years and away from the game, is this misconception of him as this hater. And I know the older guys definitely come off as haters because I've had to talk to Shaq about, bro, you hating. But here's the thing. Once you sit down and talk to a person, you realize that they're more than just what that 15 minutes on pregame or that 15 halftime minutes. They're more than that. So if it's any other former athlete that can sit on this chair right here, I would say I hope you guys reach out and get Charles Barkley because he's going to educate us on a lot of things. Yep. He's very knowledgeable. He's very worldly. But also, too, he's a real dude. Yep. And real dudes watch this podcast. This is a podcast that real dudes watch. So if you want some real dude information, put Charles on this seat and let him ride. That's who I say.
Hey, we could have went on for 3 hours.
Cool, I'm going to go pee, though.
We got to let him go. I'm sorry. We got to let him go. We got to let him go. That's awesome. Appreciate Jeez.
Of course. Love.
What? That shit was love, bro.
Yes, sir, man. We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he got to eat, you know, despite your skills. Fact. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come crazy.